Welcome to episode 22 of Publish. Today, I will speak with April Jo Murphy about creating a detailed outline for your manuscript and sticking to it.
Welcome to Publish, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In the last few episodes, we've been exploring some other ways to monetize your content, like blogging, building an online course, launching a mastermind, and so on. But today we're going to go back to the basics for a minute and talk about the very beginning of the book writing process. It's easy to get caught up in all of the possibilities for growing your brand, including deciding whether or not to even do a book. But what happens quite often is that authors will decide to write a book and sit down at their computers to start, unsure of what they should include in the book or what they should leave out. So that blinking cursor can definitely be debilitating at first. And that's why we believe pretty strongly in starting with a good outline. Outlines not only help you work through the question of what to include or not to include early on, but they also help you stay on track as you write. They make it easier to set goals for yourself and actually accomplish them. So today, outlines are our focus, and we're bringing in one of our accomplished editors here at Greenleaf, Ms. April Jo Murphy, to give some practical tips for how to build a solid outline and start the writing off on the right foot.
All right, April, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about what you do here at Greenleaf?
Well, I'm a part of a wonderful team of editors here, and as part of Greenleaf's whole ethos as a company being an author-focused hybrid publisher, editors here sort of have a hybrid role as well. We deal with authors who may not have manuscripts yet, have just the really strong desire or idea for a book. So we work in traditional editing, where we sort of take a finished manuscript and refine it through copy editing and proofreading and stuff like that. But we also sort of meet our authors where they need us, and we offer editorial consulting, or what we call manuscript development or book coaching, and a whole other sort of in-between level of services. And that, number one, is really fun as an editor to do, but it's also, I think, a rewarding way to sort of treat our authors as partners.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that is unusual in the publishing business. So some people may not realize that, but I often forget that. Sometimes I speak with outside industry partners and I tell them how we work editorially, and they're like, that's awesome. Is you guys don't like just sort of prescribe a certain way that the author must work with their editors. So what you do is particularly noble and admirable, because I know the authors appreciate that flexibility, because everybody works differently.
Yeah, and that sort of meeting the author where they are approach is really sort of going to come up a lot when we're talking today about outlining and sort of getting into the mindset of writing a book, because the journey to becoming an author is different for every writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So let's say you are handed the standard Greenleaf author that hopefully has their audience figured out at least to a degree. I know you guys do some additional work to help refine that even further. And it is time for them to start outlining. So where do they start? That's kind of a daunting chore. How do they get started outlining?
Well, really, outlining is kind of, there's two ways to do it. I think when people traditionally think about an outline, they're a little bit sort of heebie-jeebie, because when they were in an English classroom at some point, they probably had to diagram an essay or something like that. And an outline is really just a roadmap to help you visualize what your content is going to look like. So I would recommend that they sort of just make a list of topics that they want to cover. And they can do this in either a list format, which I think is more traditional, or they could do it in word clouds. I had an author yesterday, we're working through outlining one of her book this week, and she had come to me and she put the major topics on the wall, on her office wall, with like bright pink post-its, and then all of the ideas that she thought would fit into chapters related to those topics, she had in a different color post-it note underneath, and she just sort of wrote those things down in a Word document and sent them to me, and then I sort of took and put them in the more traditional structure. But really, When you are first starting to outline, you need to think about your audience and what their pain points are, because those are topics that are absolutely necessary to cover. You need to think about what excites you as an author, because that's really going to get your personality and your voice into your content. And then you also need to sort of think about your market and competitive titles a little bit and say, what is something that I am expected to cover that might be a standard for my industry? And make sure that you can illustrate your expertise in that way.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody hands you an outline, let's say they're already through that phase outside of their work here with us at Greenleaf or whoever their publisher may be, how do you assess, what are you looking for when you assess an outline to decide, yes, this is in good shape, we can move forward from here, or no, maybe it needs a little finesse here or there? What are the standards, sort of best practices you're looking for?
Well, a book is a self-contained universe, and I'm a huge believer that anything that exists inside of a book, whether it's a footnote or a text box, must serve a purpose. It has to be useful to the reader. It either entertains them, it informs them, or it provides them with some sort of action or idea that they need. And an outline should essentially, you should be able to see how all of these moving parts come together. And so it happens a lot that in the outlining process, and sometimes even in the drafting process, you'll uncover content that doesn't quite fit. It's a B-side, more or less. And that can be something that, you know, even though it doesn't fit on this particular album, it can go on a blog later on. It could become a standalone article. Maybe if you're lucky, it's the foundation for your second book. But really, everything should kind of work together. And you can use your idea of your audience to really determine these things. So when you are trying to start writing, and we have a blog post on the Learning Center on this topic, I really think that there are three questions that are important to ask yourself. They sort of come from this rhetorical background and the idea of kairos, which is the perfect timing, when things sort of serendipitously come together. And there's three questions. It's, what do I want to say? If you ask yourself that question, you'll probably already have a general idea, a fuzzy idea in your head of what your topic of your book is going to be, but I want you to get specific with that. The more specific you are, the better. And then, why does this need to be said by me? If you can think about that, then you start to think about the things that differentiate you and play to your strengths as an author, and also will probably attract your audience to you, because they're why this book can't be written by somebody else. And then finally, why does this need to be said now? What is making this relevant? So often this will reveal to you the pain points of your audience that you're trying to address. Even better, it can show you, or it allows you to engage them and inform them about pain points that they might be encountering soon, that your expertise and your sort of insights on your market or your topic have let you sort of be ahead of the curve on.
Okay, so as they are working through that and identifying those questions and keeping their audience in mind, it's possible, I think, as an author to sort of get stuck in a little vacuum of your own interpretation of an audience. So is there a way for them to double check that those topics will resonate with their audience? Is there sort of a research and development aspect to outlining to make sure you get it right on the front end while you still can?
I think so. Many authors who are coming to write their books, especially if they have a speaking background or an entrepreneurial background, have already generated quite a bit of content. And they have just in establishing their expertise. And so I would say you can sort of do self-inventory by sort of asking or going over your blog posts or your articles to see what had a lot of traction, what got a lot of attention. That's probably something, if you have an existing audience, they would be expecting you to cover inside of your book, so you want to include it. Or if you haven't included it and, you know, it's something that you really are passionate about that was overlooked, then you want to make sure that you include that. So yes, that's one way of doing it. If you don't have a whole lot of content that's out there that's been able to get feedback, I would encourage you to think about the goals that you have for this book and what sort of, I don't want to say brand yet, because I don't think an outline is really the place to necessarily be thinking about branding, but you should have some sort of guiding principles to say, I want this book to show that I am informed. I want this book to show that I am X, Y, and Z, and to think about for your audience what would show them those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and there's a lot of other things I can tell you personally from now, mm-hmm. having done my own book, that you're thinking about when you're outlining and what to include and what not to include. And I can tell you in my specific scenario, I got a little overconfident and I did a really bare bones outline thinking I speak on this stuff all the time. I know it like the back of my hand. I'll just give myself bullet points and off I go. I'll be fine. You editors, leave me alone. And then that completely backfired because I sat down to write at my scheduled time, mm-hmm. on my scheduled dates, and found that though there was not enough focus in my outline for me to know where to start. Like, I had so much floating around in my head to mm-hmm. say about creating influence or whatever the case may be that I was writing about that day, that I was overwhelmed, and I had to actually go back and sit down with my editor and micro outline my mm-hmm. outline to have sub points and really give it some rails for me to work within as I, especially because I was kind of jumping around in my manuscript.
Yeah.
So that's one example of how I sort of had to redo my outline and finesse it a little mm-hmm. bit. But are there other considerations for an author as they're trying to kind of figure out those questions of length and how granular to get in an outline, or other things to consider as they go through this heavy lifting?
I would say if you're working with an editor, a traditional outline is the probably the most useful way to go, and that would be sort of the ones that I was describing earlier. It starts out with the major topics, which are essentially your chapter topics, and then it will usually go down at least three layers to your major topics of the chapter, so your sections and then subsections. And it helps editors because they're able to sort of guide your writing a little bit better by saying, okay, maybe you only work in this section today because you don't have a lot of time, or if you're not feeling particularly inspired, you can use an outline like that almost as a crossword puzzle and sort of say, hey, I'm going to jump down to chapter 7 because I gave a talk today about that topic and it's fresh in my brain and I know that I'm not spinning my wheels because we're going to get there eventually. You know, if you're working in a non-traditional outline format, it's much more difficult for your editor to guide you because they don't know where you're going. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, if there is one question to say whether or not an outline is good enough, it's to say, if someone didn't know the content of this book, would they be able to see what this book is going to be? And if they can't do that, then your editor can't do that. And then, you know, at a later date when you're in a different headspace, you're not going to be able to do that. So that's really, I think, if you think about your outline more as a tool and less as a task, then it really will help you as you start moving along your journey.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it. It can feel like a task, mm-hmm. for sure. And you talked about the crossword puzzle and potentially moving about your outline. Mm-hmm. I have some thoughts on how that did and did not work for me, but
okay.
Can you kind of tell me, in your experience, is that a good way to approach a book? And is there something you would recommend if not?
I would say I come from this from two different minds. I have seen with authors that I work with where it's useful in the beginning of the drafting process to go through the first chapter, usually because the first chapter is where the major lifting of heavy concepts and sort of approach and philosophy are, because that sort of gets them in the mindset for how they're going to be talking about those things later on. But then when authors get stuck, that's when I feel like a non-linear approach, or even as we were talking about earlier, going in a micro approach can really sort of help break through and get content flowing again. In a sort of anecdotal sense, I know that when I was working on my dissertation, I worked in several different parts, sort of perfecting them, and then went back and did transitions to get them to work together. And I've had authors who have come through manuscript development, aka book coaching, where the content that was related to what they were doing in their professional lives was the content that they worked on regardless of where they were in sort of the linear manuscript. And I think that was useful for them because it created a fresher approach to that content than if they were trying to recall some of those things later in memory, mm-hmm. especially when it came to writing case studies.
Mm-hmm. So what happened with me jumping around my outline, and partly because for me the writing process, as with many authors, was spread out over a solid year and a half, mm-hmm. not ashamed to say. And turns out my brain doesn't change a lot in that year and a half because certain passages were almost exactly the same. So I was writing the same thing in mm-hmm. chapter 11 that I already wrote in chapter 3, and I had a special focus on redundancy in the later stages of editing because mm-hmm. I jumped around and because I was saying the same things in multiple places in the book, and you just don't catch it when there that much time passes, of course, mm-hmm. in between sitting down and tackling those different sections, especially if it's not chronological. So that was just one kind of unexpected little hiccup that was an outcome of me jumping around. Mm-hmm. But that an editor would catch, of course.
Well, that's something. So I've been working a lot on outlining this week with a new client who is in manuscript development. And so she's the one who had all of the post-its. And I've been sort of taking those post-its and turning them into a linear outline. And a large part of that process has been sort of determining that she was saying the same thing a lot of different ways. And she was doing so in like what she thought were very different sections, but she was just sort of taking an idea and giving multiple examples of it. Mm-hmm. And so that's where an outline, even before the content is written, is a way to say, hey, I just want to check in with you. So when you put forth this idea in chapter 1, I see there's something very similar that you're thinking about doing in chapter 7. So are those two different things? And if they're not, which of these two houses does it live in?
Mm-hmm. Good. So mm-hmm. once they have their outline complete and it's time to sit down and do the actual writing, how you've worked with so many authors through that process, what are the best ways for them to stay on track?
I think the first bit of advice I have is to stop thinking about themselves as someone who's trying to write a book and to think about themselves as someone who is actively writing a book. As soon as they self-identify as a writer and an author, they will take ownership over the process in a way that, you know, if they just say, you know, it's my goal to write a book this coming year or whatever, then that's always in the future. That's not something that you're actively doing. So once you make that connection, some practical steps that you can do are to make sure that, like anything else in your professional life, your writing time is accounted for. I would recommend a good standard of 5 hours a week, which sounds a little bit crazy if you're not used to saying, like, 1 hour a day of thinking of my content, writing notes about my content, actively drafting. But yeah, that's sort of the standard. I also know that a lot of people who find scheduling time every day to be difficult can also work really well in retreat or sort of boot camp type settings, where maybe they only get a half an hour a day, but they're making notes, and then they can set aside 2 or 3 days a month where they really sort of sit down and put those pieces together. But yeah, 5 hours a week, whether or not that works into the big blocks of time later or a single hour every day. And the consistency is truly key. Like anything else, it becomes a habit, it becomes an identity. You're much more engaged if you're actively working.
Mm-hmm. I would say you're also less likely to make the mistake I made of repeating content because mm-hmm. it stays fresher. I had definitely stretches where I didn't touch the book for 2 weeks and it showed when I picked it up again. I was like, what was I talking about in that mm-hmm. last chapter? So yeah, I think that's a good point. And then I know it's different for everybody, but let's say they do carve out 5 hours a week mm-hmm. and that we're talking about a 60,000 word manuscript. So roughly how long does it take most of your authors to get through that first draft?
Well, I would say that 8 months to a year and a half okay. is probably standard. I've had authors do it quicker, but they also did a lot of what I would consider pre-writing materials. And so they were a little bit more closer to active drafting than when I started working with them. And if an author has a good outline, the outline, the sort of approach that I take when I have a book coaching client is we work through the outline. It takes us 2 or 3 weeks usually to probably like get our good 3-layer outline with our chapter topics, subtopics, minor topics, sort of an idea of where case studies or, you know, other elements might go. Then when they go out and they write their first chapter, we see how long that takes. Typically, it takes 3 or 4 weeks for someone to write a chapter, a good like 15 to 25 pages. So then you look at the outline and you say, okay, I have 10 chapters. That's 10 months if I'm on a one chapter every 3 to 4 weeks. And that doesn't account for revision time or if you need to go back and put additional content or patch holes or eliminate redundancies, stuff like that. But that's sort of how you can really kind of say, okay, I have 10 months until I'm done my first draft. And I truly encourage authors to think about their first draft as being kind of the sloppy draft. You have to let it be sloppy, otherwise you're never going to be able to finish it. I had an author who has been in manuscript development for, I want to say, about 7 months now. She's one chapter under halfway through her book, and she went quiet on me. So I checked in with her yesterday, and we had a nice conversation, and she said that when she first started writing her book, she was used to writing blog posts. So blog posts typically are 250 to like 700 words. They're much shorter than a typical chapter. And when she got into writing chapters, she was intimidated by the extra length. And so that fear got into her where it hadn't before, where she thought, okay, I write frequently, this is fine. And so we had a talk, and I was like, I don't care if you just send me a blog post that later, you know, I help you sort of expand, but we need to get through the first draft of your book. And so send me the blog version of your book, and I'll help you turn those blog posts into chapters. And that's fine. That's as your editor and your coach, I'm here for you in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good bit of guidance. I think like any big project, it's helpful mm-hmm. to think of it in smaller pieces.
Yeah.
My editor, Nathan, did the same thing for me when I was overwhelmed by a few chapters. And he said, I blog for Ink Magazine, and those are 750 word posts. And he said, it's just 4 blog posts.
Yeah, exactly.
And it made me take a step back and go, oh, okay, that's still hard, but I can do that.
Yeah.
So that's a good tip. Any other advice or tips for somebody who's just entering the outline stage?
I would say, a lot of people, especially when I have like editorial consultations with someone who hasn't really like started working on the book yet, they have a really nebulous idea of their audience. They'll say, you know, this book is for everybody. Everyone's going to love it. I don't want to like sell myself short. And no, you actually sell yourself short by not having a specific audience. From a practical sense, it makes it harder to find. Makes it harder to place. It makes it harder to get word of mouth if you don't like appeal to the people who you're actually going to reach. And so if you can think about your goal and your book as what goals you are trying to achieve with your book. The book has its own goals. The book is trying to help people do X, Y, and Z through its content. And you as an author are hoping that the book is going to do something for you. And trying to first look at what you want this book to do for you will help you determine which audience you need. And that later on helps determine the content that you include.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good advice. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, April Jo Murphy. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yay.
Well, that's it for our episode today. We hope that you've learned a lot and feel ready to start on your own outline. And for notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode22. And if you've liked the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It means a lot to us to have your feedback, and it will help us make sure we're answering your most burning publishing questions. We'll be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.